Well, good morning, 3CI. It's great to be with you again. We are bringing our building project to an end, and we're using a text in 2 Corinthians 8 and 9. It's the greatest exposition of finances and generosity and gospel projects that we see in the Bible. And we're trying to redeem finances into a gospel space, not manipulation or domination or fear or guilt, but just preach what the Bible says. And I would like to thank you for your incredible response. 38 days to go, and we are going to close our building project on the 30th of May. On Sunday, the 30th of May, we're going to have an offering bowl on the stage. We're going to have a red carpet. People are going to be able to come to church, worship in the auditorium, drop their final offerings, and then this part of our lives is finished. And I just don't want any of us to miss out. And so partly this series is bringing it to an end, and partly this series is to say thank you for participating. It says of Titus, it says, he who began this good work must bring it to completion. And there's something about bringing a thing to an end. The Bible works with finish lines. The world works with deadlines. The Bible works with dining room tables. The world works with boardroom tables. And so we have to make sure that we are rooted in the scriptures. Today I'm going to speak about three things: team, testimonies, and trails, like in pathways. It says in 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 16, I thank God. And part of this series has not just been to preach the scriptures, but to say thank you to you, 3CI, and to all our partners who are listening for your contribution and your participation in this unbelievable act of grace. I think this will go down as one of the great miracles of the South African church history, that we have managed to build this church in these times. Thank God. And thank you, 3CI. I thank God who put into the heart of Titus the same concern I have for you. For Titus not only welcomed our appeal, but he is coming to you with much enthusiasm and on his own initiative. The word enthusiasm in Greek is entheos, which means in God. And I don't believe we have any other way of acting at this time but enthusiastically. Entheos. We are in crisis, yes. We are in COVID, yes. We are in chaos, yes. But we are in Christ, in theos. And so we should be responding enthusiastically to whatever goes on around us. And as we build and finish this project, I trust it's in theos, in Christ, enthusiastically. And we are sending along with him the brother who is praised by all the churches for his service to the gospel. Let me just, as we try and redeem finances, finances should never ever be done singularly. No person in a church should have control of finances. They should always be done in a team. They should always be done with the gospel in mind. They should always be done by tested and approved people. And they should never ever be done so that pastors can enrich themselves. The reason why we give generously is so that the gospel can go forward. And friends, I trust that as an eldership team, we have handled this gift with utmost holiness and incredible responsibility. What is more, he was chosen by the churches to accompany us as we carry the offering, which we administer in order to honor the Lord himself and to show our eagerness to help. We want to avoid any criticism of the way that we administer this liberal gift. And so we've done this building project with two things in mind: to honor God and to avoid any form of criticism in the way that we administer this gift. Our books are audited. They're audited every year. Our building project has been audited. We had an amazing thing where somebody gave us an asset and 3 months later asked for the receipt. And it didn't take 30 minutes to find the receipt. Within 25 seconds, Eugene had pulled up the receipt of selling the asset, sent it back to them, and said, here it is, everything is in order. Friends, when we deal with a large project like this, it must be without any form of criticism. Anybody can look at our books through this time and say that you have handled it impeccably. And I want to thank our team, Eugene, Ferdy, Lynn, Michael, Andrew Shipley, our accountant. I want to thank you for the way that you've handled this liberal gift. For we are taking pains to do what is right, not only in the eyes of the Lord, but also in the eyes of men. So God, I trust we have honored you. Members of 3CI, I trust we have honored you completely. In addition, we are sending with him our brother who has often proved to us in many ways that he is zealous, and now even more so because of his great confidence in you. The scripture actually says a man who's been tested many times. Not just the rookie who's handling the finances, a tested man. As for Titus, he is my partner and fellow worker among you. As for our brothers, they are representatives of the churches and an honor to Christ. Therefore, show these men the proof of your love and the reason for our pride in you so that the churches can see it. There is no need for me to write to you about this service to the saints. It almost feels embarrassing, 3CI, for me to speak to you about bringing this project to an end. You have been so amazing, so participating, patriot. You have been so enthusiastic, so loyal, so faithful, so sacrificial. But Paul writes nevertheless, for I know your eagerness to help, and I've been boasting about it to the Macedonians, telling them that since last year, you and Achaia were ready to give. And your enthusiasm, entheos, in Christ, has stirred most of them to action. Your enthusiasm, being in Jesus and your generosity, has stirred other people to action. But I'm sending the brothers in order that our boasting about you in this matter should not prove hollow, but that you may be ready as I said you would be. For if any Macedonians come with me and find you unprepared, we, not to say anything about you, would be ashamed of having been so confident. So I thought it necessary to urge the brothers to visit you in advance and to finish the arrangements for the generous gift that you had promised. Then it will be ready as a generous gift, not as one grudgingly given. Friends, we decided to go on a journey. We're bringing the journey to an end. Let's make sure we finish it properly. Remember this, whoever sows sparingly will also reap sparingly. I have seen that scripture preached with deep anger and absolute marketing skills and deep manipulation. When I walk on this property, I pray that I would never, ever, ever raise my voice in the pulpit of 3CR. I would never be angry with the people of 3CR. When Moses struck the rock the second time and lost his inheritance, I look at Moses sometimes and I feel like that. And I think, God, please, may I never, ever be angry with the people of 3CR who have been so generous for so long in such difficult times. Each man should give what he has decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. It's a very strong text. It's a very motivational text. It's a very convicting text. But it's an incredibly liberating text. You don't have to give under compulsion. And you can decide. I don't decide for you. You can decide yourself, in your heart, what you want to give. And God is able to make all grace abound to you, so that in all things, at all times, having all that you need, you will abound in every good work, as it is written, he has scattered abroad his gifts to the poor, his righteousness endures forever. Friends, this is an amazing text. Just a few things. Firstly, God always works in team and especially with finances. It says this in the book of Corinthians, in 2 Corinthians chapter 2. It says, God has opened a door of effective ministry for me, but Titus was not there, so I said goodbye. We need teams to walk through doors. And friends at 3CI and our partners, God opened a door for us. Just a door, a little window of opportunity to build a building, and you were there. You know, friends, Holy Trinity Brompton, which has seen the revival, which has seen the Alpha Course, which has seen the outpouring of God's Spirit, is 900 years old. They've had good ministers and bad ministers, good times and bad times, up times and down times. But they've had the same building. And then one day, about 30 years ago, God unplugged the well. And the power of God started flowing through that church. And he brought members into that building. And the gospel has spread all over the world because of a building called Holy Trinity Brompton and a church called Holy Trinity. 900 years later. I don't know when God will pour his revival through this building. But God opened a door for us to establish a gospel base. And I want to say thank you for walking through it. Thank you for enabling us to walk through the door. It goes on and it says this about Titus. It says, Titus is happy. Titus is happy. I went away to my business about 2 weeks ago. And when I came back, I've got a very beautiful neighbor, Dr. Tommy Gray. He's a specialist at Pretoria East. And he SMS'd me and he said, Welkom terug, Bierman. And I said, how do you know I'm home? He said, I can hear you laughing. And I thought, that's what I want to be. It's been tough. It's been demanding. It's been sacrificial. But I want to say, I'm so happy that God has put me here at this time to walk through this process. And I know that my happiness and my enthusiasm and my initiative and your happiness and enthusiasm and initiative will help us walk through and end this project on a high. The second person that went along here was a guy who knew the gospel. Friends, religion is man's attempt to please God. The gospel is God's intervention in our lives. You know what it says in Romans chapter 1? It says, I am not ashamed of the gospel, for it is the power. That word is dunamis, where we get our word dynamite from. It is the power of God for salvation, first for the Jews, then for you. Friends, they're not just handling money, they're handling dynamite. They are handling an explosive power that can change people's lives. Right now, it's Friday morning in Pretoria, but as you're watching it, it's Sunday morning in Pretoria, as you're watching this. Right now, at 9 o'clock on Sunday morning, one of the greatest gospel partners I've ever had is a man called Adrian Quinlivan, who's invested into this building, but not the building. He's invested into dynamite. He's invested into gospel opportunities. 6 years ago, he started a home group. And a group of people joined the home group. And a couple joined the home group. And they had a little 12-year-old girl who used to sit around the home group and have tea and coffee together. And the seed of the gospel gripped her heart. And that little girl turns 18 on Sunday. And Adrian is coming up from Cape Town to Pretoria to baptize that young girl in our building, friends, in our new baptismal font. We are not building brick and mortar. We are investing in dynamite. We're investing in the gospel, which is the dunamis of God to change people's lives. And I've seen as men sit at the back of churches like this, so a heart was a clip. Rock hard, friends. And as I look at them, I think the gospel will blow your hard heart open, sir. And the gospel is also the ability to calm people's heart. It says, I am sending to you Titus, full of enthusiasm, full of initiative, happy. But I'm also sending to you, with you people who understand the power of the gospel. We are not investing, friends, in brick and mortar. We are investing in opportunities for people to meet with Jesus. I got a letter last night at 10 o'clock from a man called Herman. He said, Rory, thank you that you are building a church with crooked stairs. And he started to list his life of how broken he was when he came here. Friends, God is busy with a massive project. You know that Stormers rugby player that I met last week that I spoke about? He SMS'd me, he said, het ek jou rarig Engelsman genoem? I said, or something like that, maybe a bit of preaching license. He married a girl from Harry Smith. That girl from Harry Smith's father was a builder. That girl from Harry Smith's father built my father's business 35 years. He built the brick and mortar 35 years ago. He had a building company. I was 15, she was 5. Can you imagine my dad turning to her dad and saying, we're busy building a building, you building the brick and mortar, I'm building the business, but one day our children are going to be in the same church together for the purposes of the gospel. God is involved in something so big here, friends. God is involved in bringing people together and changing lives and starting home groups and sending people to Stellenbosch and bringing them back so that a girl can get baptized and her favorite color is blue, so the whole lights of the house will be blue and her songs will be playing. And her dad said to me he didn't believe in the building project. He felt we were making a mistake. And on his birthday 2 years ago, he phoned me and he said, I've told my family I don't want presents today. We are going to pay on my birthday for the costs of the building. That man who sowed into the brick and mortar is going to be baptizing his daughter with Adrian Quinlivan as you're watching this TV program right now. Praise God. Thank you for Team Lord. I pray, mighty God, that this liberal gift called 3CR Church, we would always look after it in a way that honors you and in a way that avoids criticism from man. I pray, as one of the leaders here, that I would never take advantage of the finances. I pray, Lord God, when I leave this place, that I would never be able to say, I enriched myself from 3CI. Paul could say at the end of his life, I have not taken anyone's silver or anyone's gold. Father, we are busy with a great project for your glory. And I pray, Lord God, that as a team together with Andrew the accountant and Eugene the number cruncher and our quantity surveyor, we'll be able to give a good record that will allow us to say, in the sight of man and the sight of God, we've walked with integrity. The second thing we see here, friends, is this incredible thing that Paul is doing. He's saying the Macedonians, which is actually like a church in plastic view, and the Corinthians, which is like a church in boardwalk manner, are kind of enthusiastically competing with giving. He's sort of putting them against each other and say, the Macedonians, these poor guys are teaching you lessons, but you guys are teaching them lessons. And it says, I didn't even have to write to you about this. I feel embarrassed to speak to you about this, Tricia, because your enthusiasm has stirred most of them to action. Richard, I've never seen you since the day you said you'll drop diesel here. Thank you. Thank you. I've never seen your truck come. I just hear our generator run. But before Richard came to fill up our new generator, we had an old generator. There's a guy called Ben. You don't know Ben. You know what Ben did? Ben took it upon himself because our generator came from China. He used to just come on the property on Saturdays and he used to just service our generator. And then he realized there were parts broken. So he imported the parts from China at his own cost without our knowledge. And then the Eskom power outages hit us and our church just carried on as if nothing had happened. And our generator was running absolutely perfectly. And one day we caught Ben on our property. Thank you, Ben. Thank you, Richard. Thank you, that young couple who've just had a baby and need two cars but gave one to the building project. Your enthusiasm, your in Christ stirs me into action. That little boy who came on a Sunday night and gave his piggy bank, thank you, young man. I would love your parents to contact me. I pray for you every day, but I can't remember your name. Thank you for that. Thank you for stirring us into action. Thank you, Glenridge Church. Thank you, Chris Vinant, my spiritual father. Thank you, Dudley Daniel, for teaching me about generosity. Over 30 years ago, friends, when I joined the church, our church called Glenridge that planted 3CI was in debt. And as I remember being in a leaders' meeting, and Chris Vinant said, we're in debt, and the only asset we've got is a combi, and we're going to give it away to an Indian church that needs a combi. And he gave it away. And from that day until this day, nearly 30 years later, I've never, ever seen the church in debt, ever. Thank you for the enthusiasm. Can I tell you about my mum? My dad taught me a lot about life, about attitude, about enthusiasm, about adding value, about being large-hearted, about being generous. But my mum taught me about God. My mum prayed. And when my dad died, I had to take over his business and we were about to go into a building project and I was looking after a whole lot of things and my life was very busy. I lost my sleeping patterns. My dad had an investment overseas which he left to my mum. And I was sitting in Melrose Arch with her financial advisor. And as I was sitting at that table, going through the figures started to get blurred. And my heart started to race. And it was the beginning of a nervous breakdown. I spent 3 months in bed. On Sunday, last week, my mum phoned me. She said, "Boy, I woke up this morning and I was thinking about that money in England." I said, "Yes, mum." She said, "Then I listened to you preach." I said, "Yes, mum." And friends, when we took up our first offering, I expected X amount and Y came in. And my mum and my sister were the first people to donate a large amount of money to this church. And my mum said, "I would like that money from England to come back and help you finish your building project." My mum, 81 years old, is the single biggest external contributor to our building fund. Your enthusiasm, mum, has stirred me to action. You've taught me about God. At 81 years old, in a church that you're not part of, thank you. Thank you for that. To my sister, thank you for that. I love you. You've backed us. I'm proud of you. To that little boy with the piggy bank and Richard with the diesel and Ben with the parts. You know, we brought up two single ladies one day, and I said, "There are single ladies here who don't have cars." We called up to the front and I said, "I believe we must give you cars." Ben gave those two ladies cars. You'll never meet Ben, but Ben just happens to be in our community. I feel embarrassed to write to you, Ben, right now. And Richard, and Lynn, and Lillian, and Anthea, and Dennis and Annie. I feel embarrassed to write to you. And I thank you for your enthusiasm, which has called many people into action. You know, friends, I've got a mate called Craig Clark, who leads a church called Urban Life. And I went there and preached on Friday at a pastor's meeting. And they're doing an extension to their building and it's unfinished. And as I looked at it, as I parked my car and looked at their unfinished building, the builders have moved off site. I realized they've put 350,000 rand into our building project and they've donated 250,000 rand of furniture, which they're busy making for us. And the reason why their building project is not finished is because they're helping us finish ours. For every one of you, for your testimony, for your time, for your big or your little, whether you're part of our church or not part of our church, I cannot ever raise my voice to a group of people that have given as much as they were able and even beyond their ability. Thank you. Let's finish this project. Let's give God the glory. Let's take back what we have lost around integrity and let's honor Jesus. And finally, friends, it goes on to talk about whoever sows sparingly will reap sparingly, whoever sows generously will reap generously. Each man, no one is excluded. You're not let off the hook. Each man, every person, every child, my children, my ones who are working, my ones who are at school, each man should give what he has decided. That means in advance. So giving is personal. Giving is planned. You can't be manipulated. It's not just coming and taking the coins out your pocket or the note. It's actually thought through. You've given it attention. You've given it prayer. It says earlier on, first they gave themselves to the Lord, then to us. So your giving is personal. Your giving is planned. It says, each man should give what he's decided in his heart to give, not reluctantly or under compulsion, for God loves a cheerful giver. It's actually meant to be pleasant. It's not meant to be a slap. It's meant to be a happy time. You know, friends, this is a completely different trail that God is putting us on. Paul uses all sorts of different examples. In the book of Philippians, he talks about what I counted profit, I now count as loss. He does a kind of an accounting thing. He sort of does a credit and debit and he swaps them around. He says, no, what the world sees as a profit, I see as a loss. What the world sees as a loss, I see as a profit. And he does this sort of accounting maneuver. In the book of Ephesians, he uses building. He says we are rooted and established in Christ. It's like we've got a root system that's like a tree, and we've got a foundation which is concrete. We are rooted and established in Christ. And we know the story, some of you, but we have an architect of the building and a landscape architect. They happen to be married. And I said to the landscape architect, what's the difference between an architect and a landscape architect? And she said, the day we move into the building will be the best the building ever looks and the worst the garden ever looks. And that which is rooted, that which is established in God, starts to grow, and that which is built by man starts to deteriorate. So we have an accounting analogy, we have a building analogy, and then what we have here is a farming analogy, sowing and reaping. And actually Jesus says, this thing you can't understand, but this small little seed will become big enough as a tree to house a bird. You know, friends, the very first time I ever preached at 3CI, I came from a church called Glenridge, the church that started 3CI. And I was asked to come and preach here, I think 15 years ago, on generosity. And I thought, geez, what am I going to go and say to all these guys? They're one of the most generous churches I've ever known. And when I started to prepare, I looked at our bank accounts in Glenridge, and we had 2 million rand in our bank account. And I felt God say to us, call the elders together. So we called our elders together. And I said, how on earth can I go and preach on generosity when we've got 2 million rand in our bank? And so friends, the first time I ever preached at 3CR Church, I walked onto this property. I landed at O.R. Tambo Airport. I got picked up by Manny Pereira and Dawn Pereira, whose daughter used to be on our eldership team with Jeff. I got picked up by them. I got driven into 3CR Church, and my cell phone beeped. And it says, our bank account is empty. We've given the 2 million rand away. And I came into this building downstairs, and I started to speak on generosity. And the Spirit of God started to move, and people were weeping. And the Spirit of God was flowing, and people were filled up with the power of God. That was my introduction to 3CR Church. And that was what Glenridge taught me. And sowing and reaping, friends, is a phenomenon. If you look at it in the scriptures, when Jesus starts to preach his parable, the first parable he tells, he says there was a man sowing seed. And some seed fell on hard ground, and some seed fell on rocky ground, and some seed fell amongst the thorns. And when he explains it, he says, the thorns are those who are worried by the worries of this life and the deceitfulness of wealth. But some seed fell in good soil and reaped a crop 30, 60, and 100-fold. The first time we see sowing in any great form is in the book of Genesis, chapter 26. It says this, it says there was famine in the land, but Isaac sowed in that land, Genesis 26, and in the same year reaped 100-fold. You see, friends, Isaac had seen Jesus on top of the mountain, because his father was about to kill him, was about to stab him and offer him as a sacrifice. And God said, no, Abraham, there's a ram caught in the thicket. Take the ram, the lamb caught in the, and put it on the altar. And we see in the book of Genesis, one lamb replaces one man. We see in the book of Exodus, one lamb per family. We see in Leviticus, one lamb per nation. We see in Isaiah 53, one lamb for the sins of many. And in John chapter 1, it says, look, the Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the whole world. You will only sow, friends, if you see the Lamb. My job is not to hype you up. My job is just to show you Jesus. This scripture ends like this. It says, thanks be to God for his indescribable gift. You can't describe Jesus. Jesus in the Gospels, Jesus in Revelation, Jesus in the Epistles, Jesus in the church, Jesus in history, Jesus in Romans. When we understand the gift of Christ, my months of salary sacrifice, the lady who bought the gold, the boy who bought the piggy bank, the man who fixed the generator, the church who made our furniture. Praise God. My 81-year-old mum, my sister who recommended that our business give. Praise God. Thank God But it cannot in any way compare to the indescribable gift of Jesus. We cannot stand up here and boast. We cannot brag. Because our offering is just a little. Open hands, open hearts, open wallets. Let's finish this thing to the praise and glory of the indescribable gift given by our Father called Jesus. 3CR, our partners, thank you. Let's bring this to a close. 38 more days. Be free. Be convicted. Be disciplined. Be prayerful. And be cheerful. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.